98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, a faster than usual 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show, and you'll understand why in just a moment. 4 o'clock reset, we start with the news from the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Cards, providing an injury update today on right tackle Kelvin Beachum and cornerback Marco Wilson.
Not too bad. Both those guys will be day-to-day. See how they progress through the week and then see where they're at on Sunday.
Cards at the Jags on Sunday, Gambo.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have everybody there, but clearly they've got great depth on that offensive line. Obviously, if Beachum's able to miss time, and Marco's played well for them, I want to see him continue to get those opportunities.
Monday Night Football tonight features the Packers taking on the Lions. The Packers trying to avoid an 0-2 start on the season. And Herm Edwards announced today defensive end Travez Moore going to be out the rest of the season with a knee injury. Injury to insult when it comes to ASU football.
Yeah, tough loss against BYU. But they get Colorado, which didn't even score 1 point this weekend. They got shut out, so they'll get Colorado this week. A chance for ASU to get help.
There's other stuff going on in sports, but we are pleased to be joined right now on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line by the rookie wide receiver from the Arizona Cardinals, who had a huge day yesterday, including scoring his first ever NFL touchdown. Rondell Moore joins us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Rondell, Dave, Gambo here. Thanks for coming on. Congratulations on your big day yesterday. We appreciate the time.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, I we'll talk about the touchdown in a second, but I am so impressed with the play you made to set up the 62-yard field goal. Look, you guys get the ball in your own 35-yard line, 16 seconds left. You get a 4-yard play, and then the second play to gain those extra yards and get out of bounds with 1 second left to allow Prater to kick that. It's almost the football IQ must be through the roof. What are you seeing there? Are you aware of the time? Are you aware of the distance that you need to get to give him a chance for that field goal?
I mean, like I got asked a similar question yesterday after the game, and you know, I just told him I had the utmost confidence in Prater, and I know if I could get a few extra yards, it'd put us in a position for him to be able to, you know, make it possible. So there was 10 seconds left. We had a timeout. Obviously, the defense wants to keep me in bounds, so kind of just made a move towards the sideline, got upfield, and maneuvered back to the sideline.
There is a point there where you've either got to decide: am I going to get out of bounds because there's no time left, or am I going to cut that and try to take it to the house? What made you go out of bounds instead of trying to extend the play even further?
There was two guys still above me, so it would have been tough to take that one to the house. But I knew I could make it out of bounds, and like I said, we had another timeout.
Yeah, so you just kind of had this running clock in your head. I mean, is it? Do you have a running clock in your head in a moment like that, or is it just purely instinctual when you kind of feel like it's time to get out of bounds to preserve yourself that 1 second on the clock?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I knew there was 10 seconds left prior to, and I knew I'd used a bit of it up trying to get upfield, so just trying to get to the sideline as fast as possible. And when I looked up, there were 2 seconds, and obviously I got a chance to get out with the second left.
Yeah. Rondell Moore, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I was downstairs in the post-game press conference when you were in there, and underneath my mask, I kind of chuckled a little bit at your answer to the question on the 77-yard touchdown. A, I hope he sees me, and B, don't drop the ball. How hard is B in a moment like that?
I think that's the number one thing going through your mind is catch the ball. Obviously, the wide open ones are always the ones you think about the most.
Right? I mean, and with it, not that it hung up there, but it was in the air long enough. Did you have time to have that thought run through your mind? Like, oh, God, don't drop this. Don't drop this. You're so wide open. Is that going through your mind when that's happening?
No. I mean, of course, I'm a pretty confident player, I'd like to say, but I mean, that's definitely one thing you don't want to do in that situation.
How about having Christian Kirk there? I mean, you get that ball, there's 40 yards to go, and you've got him. You got one guy that might be able to make a play on you, but Christian Kirk never let him get within 10 yards of you.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I was so excited getting in the end zone, man. Christian was working his tail off blocking for me.
Let's talk about the chemistry that you've been able to develop with Kyler, you know, with such a in such a short amount of time. There does seem to be a great connection between the two of you. All through training camp, obviously you were working on that, but at what point did you feel like, hey, we've got a pretty good connection, me and him together?
Yeah, honestly, I just try to go out there and execute the plays that are called. Kyler's a great dude. Intelligent player, so I just try to go out there and execute what's called and, you know, do my job.
Rondale Moore, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. In terms of your presence kind of unlocking this offense, I know that's a lot to put on one guy, and it's not all just on one guy, but do you feel like in terms of what you can contribute, there's more to give to this team and there's more to give to this offense in terms of what you can do within it?
I mean, like I said, I just, you know, try to go to work every day and do what's asked of me at the best of my ability and, you know, put my trust in my coaches and the guys on the field with me.
2-0. I mean, you guys got to feel really good in the locker room. I mean, it doesn't matter how you got the win. You guys got that win. This division is tough. I mean, as you know, with the 49ers haven't lost yet. Seattle did lose yesterday, but the Rams haven't. So, I mean, all of these wins are going to be important for you guys. How did you feel after you guys eked out that win?
I mean, crazy enough, Christian and I had a conversation about it on the sideline, and, you know, he just said, it's the NFL, and there's a lot of weeks, you know, that'll be really tight like this. So just figuring out a way to grind it out is the most important aspect about the whole thing. So obviously we were grateful to get the win. It's short-lived, and it's time to, you know, get focused and get ready for Jacksonville this week.
We were discussing earlier looking at the rookie wide receivers and just seeing where you rank. And I think was it second right now?
First in terms of rookie wide receivers.
First in rookie wide receivers. Do you look at how the other rookie wide receivers are doing compared to yourself? Do you take a look at those stats?
No, not really concerned about that. Really just here to win games.
How's your mom enjoying her house?
She loves it. And TVs are actually on the way. Those took a little longer to get there, so. But she loves it.
Wait. She didn't tell me she watched what you did yesterday, right? That you said the TVs are on the way. She was able to watch what you did yesterday, right?
Yeah, she was able to.
Okay. You said the TVs are on the way. It made me worry that she was sitting in a house with no televisions and she didn't see, you know, what you did yesterday. I think that'd be pretty sad if she wasn't able to watch that. So she was able to see what you did.
Yeah, that was a little misleading, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rondale, we appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on the show. Congratulations again on the big day yesterday. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Rondale Moore joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. Coulter Infinity Luxury Cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. Yeah, among rookie wide receivers,
number
he's
one.
First in all-purpose yardage.
That's the one.
Number five.
Top five in all-purpose
top five
yardage.
And that's not rookies. That's everybody.
Listen, the kid's got a shot, right? When you start thinking of, you know, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, I mean, he's got a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, if he puts up, you know, 1,000 yards receiving as a rookie, I mean, you got to think that he's in the running. Now, it depends on what some of these quarterbacks do. What does Mac Jones do? But I think he's going to be right there when all is said and done because he's such a big part of this offense. And yards after the catch, I don't know that there's anybody in this league.
He's second.
That's what it was.
Among
second in yards
all
after
wide
the catch.
Receivers in yards after the catch.
That's what I was thinking. He was number two in yards after the catch.
Yeah, and that's not a rookie thing. That's everybody.
That's everybody. Nice.
Debo Samuel is the only one who has more
just
than him.
Such a great player when he gets the ball in his hands.
We'll talk about this a little bit later, too. And this is a note from our buddy Mike Jarecki. He tweeted this out, and I took a screenshot of it earlier today. Wide receivers after two games. And this to me is really interesting. We talked about this towards the end of last week. Targets, just targets. Rondale Moore, 11. DeAndre Hopkins, or 13, I'm sorry. Rondale Moore, 13.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins, 12. Christian Kirk, 9. A.J. Green, 12.
The balanced offense is, again, it reminds me of the Suns in the
under D'Antoni with Nash getting everybody involved. Sean Marion gets his shots. Amari gets his shots. Joe Johnson got his. Quentin Richards, like, really reminds me of that. I mean, it's a very you've got a very dynamic wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best in the league. And there's going to be times when you're going to have to rely on him to get you wins, and he's capable of doing that. But these other weapons, you got to make sure that you know, you got a lot of guys you got to feed. A lot of guys want to eat. Yeah. A lot of guys want to eat. You got to make sure you're Kyler Murray. You got to make sure they all eat.
I think as this season develops and this season evolves, and this is something we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now, the fact that Christian Kirk is in his more natural slot position and the fact that Rondale Moore is in his more natural slot position, and again, no disrespect, but that Larry Fitzgerald isn't in the slot anymore, might be the recipe for this offense being, pardon the cliche, everything it can be. Again, I mean that as no disrespect to Larry Fitzgerald whatsoever and everything he's accomplished, but in terms of what this offense can do and having the right personnel in the slot,
sure,
it just feels more right to have those two guys in the slot who can really make things happen after
Look,
the catch.
I'm not going to lie. It feels like a Nintendo game.
It looked video game-ish yesterday, didn't it?
It feels like a Nintendo game, this offense and their ability to... You know what I was thinking as I'm watching this game yesterday? Man, they're never going to be out of a game. Hey, the Cardinals are down by 3 scores. First quarter, so what?
So what?
Second quarter, so what? They're not, you're going to have to bury them. You can't be content with a 17-point lead going into the second half against the Cardinals because they're capable of coming back and beating you.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, if you were going to take one guy and talk about him after yesterday's win over the Vikings, Kyler Murray is that guy, the good and the bad. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Shotgun formation, snap to Murray, pressure coming, Murray in trouble, launches it up in the air, Christian Kirk is there, he's got it to 10, and down to the 5, that looks like the play from last week, it'll be first and goal, Kyler Murray probably the only quarterback again who could escape that kind of pressure, backpedal, and then put enough on that ball to hit Kirk downfield.
One of like 5 plays yesterday where you look at Kyler Murray in absolute awe, where he awes you.
Yeah.
Where the phrase you used a second ago, it was the exact phrase that Dave Pasch used in the promo that we're playing right now by Kyler. It's like a video game. It's like you're watching a video
I'm
game.
Playing Nintendo.
Pro Football Talk yesterday tweeted out, after Kyler Murray's touchdown run, that design 12-yard touchdown run in which he struck that yoga, baby Yoda, whatever it was, pose in the end zone, Pro Football Talk tweeted out, he is the most entertaining player to watch.
Sure.
In the NFL right
now.
Yeah, if
you go to ESPN stats and you click on how the hell did he do that, he's number one. He leads the league in how the hell did you do that. Bleacher Report had a story, and that's what he said. It says it's early, but Murray, not preseason MVP favorite Patrick Mahomes, leads the league in how the hell did he do that moments. I mean, we should have a stat there. Who's got the most how the hell did he do that? Oh, it's like Kyler Murray. He's got like 10 of them right now.
He's already got 10 of them. We're 2 games into the season.
He just does things that nobody else can do. I mean, he's going to get $40 million a year. I've been saying this for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He's going to get $40 million a year. Now, to your point, I totally respect it, and I think you're 100% right. The wins have to come with the plays. Like
To get the $40 million,
to get the $40 million.
Yes.
I mean, without it, he gets $35 million. But you want 40, you got to get the wins. They're 2-0 right now. Jacksonville's coming up 3-0, very likely if they don't beat themselves in that football game. But he is doing things. I was reading something. I said it to you the other day. I said it to you about an hour ago about he's like only the third quarterback in modern day history to have 30 points in consecutive weeks in fantasy football.
Yeah.
I'm not a fantasy football player. I don't really know what that means. But it means that he's getting a lot of points in fantasy football because he runs and he throws and his touchdowns and more touchdowns and big plays. I mean, 400 yards passing.
Yeah. Yeah, it means you sent that to me or you said that to me. Last year, everybody who plays fantasy football knows that a lot of years it just comes down to which team has this guy. And last year, that guy was Josh Allen. If you had Josh Allen, chances are decent you won your league. Because he just had that kind of year where just every single week he was dropping 32 points on you, and you're like, you can't lose when you've got a guy like that as your quarterback. Kyler Murray might end up being that guy this year in fantasy football, where if you've got Kyler on your roster, you're just going to win your league. And I know that's a real simple, and if you don't play fantasy football, who cares way of looking at Kyler, and I don't really care about it that much. A, because he's not on my fantasy football team, and I'm very upset about that. But B,
did you have a chance to take him?
Because I could have.
Who's your quarterback?
In one, it's Josh Allen.
Okay.
And in the other, it's Matthew Stafford. Okay. So I feel like I'm doing all right, quarterback-wise. Yeah, I'm doing okay. But if Kyler Murray's the one guy who helps you win, we don't care so much about the fantasy football. We care more about the actual football that Kyler Murray is playing out there. Yesterday was an awe-inspiring and yet weird day for Kyler Murray because if Greg Joseph hits that 37-yard field goal, we are way more focused on Kyler's mistakes than we would have been otherwise. We're looking at the Vigil pick six, which you and I both agree was a heck of a play by Vigil. Yeah.
Hell of a play.
We're looking at the interception in which he was targeting Kirk deep down the field. And watching that later on Fox, he's looking at the iPad, Kyler is, and he sees that he gets hit upside by the head, and he's pissed. He took his water bottle.
He did.
He almost slammed it down on the ground. He was mad, and he went right over the referees and started giving them, not demonstratively.
I got hit in the head.
Yeah, I got hit upside the head. How come you guys didn't call that? But we're going to be focused way more on the mistakes than we would have been because they won. He still was awe-inspiring yesterday. But if we're going to focus on the mistakes, I said this before, I'll say it again. I'm focusing on that play where he ran out of bounds on that 24-second
Not the interception.
Not the interception.
Look, when you're
It's more to me about running out of bounds and the need to kill some clock there.
When you're taking these shots down the field, he completed 5 of his 7 deep pass attempts. Deep pass attempts of 20 yards or more. 5 plays of 20 yards or more. He's 10 of 16 on those throws this season. 10 of 16. That's a crazy high completion percentage. Now, when you're going to throw the ball that many times down the field, you're going to beat some teams really good with these plays like the Rondale Moore play. Okay, the Christian Kirk play in week one. You're going to get some of these great, but you're going to turn the ball over sometimes.
Yeah.
You want to dink and dunk and not have turnovers, and you could dink and dunk, but that takes away from what makes this kid so special. There are going to be turnovers. Just got to live with it. He's going to turn the ball over. He's not going to have a season with 7 interceptions. His accuracy is great, but when you are taking these chances down the field, there's a chance that you're going to throw into coverage and get picked off sometimes.
I agree, and that's why I didn't get all that hung up on the interceptions. I did get hung up on him running out of bounds. Cliff Kingsbury addressed that today.
I think it just comes down to consistency, each play, having a plan, making the most of it. And you're going to have some negative plays. That's part of playing the position when you touch the ball that many times. But it's something we'll continue to work through, and he'll continue to get better at.
Yesterday he was asked, are you disappointed with your performance? Here's what he said.
I mean, you know me. I mean, I'm definitely frustrated, but understanding, guys telling me, which I understand, it's not easy to win this league. So you just got to take the good with the bad. You got to go back to work next week, but enjoy the win.
And I do like the fact, I love the fact, in fact, that he throws for 400 yards, completes 80% of his passes, accounts for 4 touchdowns, and he's frustrated with his performance because he knows he could have done better. He could have done more.
Is he frustrated with the baby Yoda?
So after he runs in from the 12-yard line, he goes into this yoga-like meditation pose,
yeah.
Right? And immediately speculation on social media is that he's doing Grogu, Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian,
yes,
because
yeah.
he was called Baby Yoda by Chandler Jones last week. He was asked about it yesterday.
I've never watched Star Wars before, so I don't.
What?
I didn't. I got to my phone. I see people talking about Baby Yoda. I had no clue what that was. I wasn't intending to do that because of that. I've never watched Star Wars before, so I don't know.
Okay. You said what? My heart hurts. Cliff Kingsbury. Also a little upset with this.
I was pretty heartbroken that Kyler's never seen Star Wars because from about age 4 to 9, I wanted nothing more in life than to be Luke Skywalker. So I think he could learn some from that trilogy, if you will.
Is it a trilogy?
Well, there's 3 trilogies. In addition to 2 different standalone movies and a couple of TV series.
That's what I was going to ask the movie expert here. Is that Cliff just referencing the movies of the 70s and only recognizing those as Star Wars movies?
Those are the ones that feature the most Luke Skywalker. So if you're going to say, I always wanted to be Luke Skywalker when I was a kid, that's the trilogy you're probably referring to, which is odd because I always thought every kid growing up wanted to be Han Solo. Han Solo, I'm sorry. I always wanted to be
Han. He was cooler?
He was.
He got the girl.
He was good with the ladies. He was quick with the quip. He was always had the snazzy one-liner ready to go.
I mean, being the nerdiest, most socially awkward kid on the face of the earth when I was 10, I wanted nothing more than to be Han Solo when I was a kid. Luke, you can have, like, we play Star Wars in the backyard. You want to be Luke? Knock yourself out. I'd rather be Han.
Luke was a big whiner, too.
First of all, I never played Star Wars in the backyard. How did you play Star Wars in the backyard?
Oh, you had your Star Wars figures. And then you had we had this big rock in the backyard that we pretended was the Death Star.
Oh.
So we played with our Star Wars figures on the, and then
I never did that.
You know, my dad, God bless him, he took hockey sticks and he made lightsabers out of them. And so we took a hockey stick.
And we'd beat each other over the head with it.
And my brother and I would have lightsaber duels
out of
in the backyard. Out
not
of wood.
Not some piece of plastic, but just a hard, just wood.
Well, yeah, just sure. Hockey sticks with the blade cut off.
Sure.
And then he'd paint.
Much safer than just a little piece of plastic.
But so, I just got done saying I always wanted to be Han. Han never had a lightsaber, so I'm not really sure how that whole thing worked. But I always... Yeah, Han was the guy to be.
G.I. Joe's we played with in the backyard.
Oh, with
my days was
like the big dolls
G.I. Joe's and Planet of the Apes.
The big foot long.
No, not those. Just the little action figure ones.
Oh, well, I remember
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I had the G.I. with the kung fu grip.
You
and
had
the
G.I. Joe.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure, of course. And that fake like beard that they had. Remember that?
G.I. Joe's and Planet of the Apes was popular. I don't ever remember. I never played Star Wars.
You never played Star Wars in the backyard?
I don't think so.
No,
never.
God, every day. Every day we played Star Wars in the backyard.
Well, if we ever get bored here, we could just bring in some hockey sticks hit each other upside the head.
A lightsaber fight.
Yeah, have a lightsaber fight.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Cardinals defense got off to a rough start yesterday against the Vikings. Credit where credit's due. They turned it around. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. Get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Mitch is back with us for our Twitter poll, which you can find on our Twitter page at Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
What you got for us today, Mitch?
I've got a good one today following a Cardinals win and a good start to the season.
Why is it not a good win?
I don't know.
Like, do you think it's not a good win?
I thought it was good performances. I didn't necessarily say it was the best win by them.
It wasn't it wasn't good like they dominated the Titans last weekend. That was good.
If you want to compare to.
Dominated them. You know, there was a lot of luck involved.
If you don't believe in bad wins, then that's a good win. There are great wins and there are good wins. I don't know that there's a, I don't know if you believe in bad wins, that's a good win.
I think he's just saying because there was an element of luck involved, maybe that didn't make it a great win like last weekend was a great win. Not trying to explain for you.
But no, you're good. Yeah. Relying on somebody else to miss is not my favorite way of winning. But to Gambo's point, a win is a win.
Yes.
And so we're asking about biggest takeaway. And we have four options today. If you haven't heard of the following, what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday's Cardinals win? Kyler Murray is insane. The defense adjusting in the second half, Rondell Moore's breakout performance, or the fact that we have a kicker.
I go with we have a kicker.
It's a good one. They're all good. Yeah. I'm going with Rondell Moore's breakout.
Okay. It is still we have a kicker. They've actually extended the lead, 41.7%, and it's close in second. Kyler Murray is insane, still holding on at 25.9%. Rondell Moore's breakout at 22.7%. Defense at 9.8.
Kyler Murray is insane is a pretty good answer to that question, too. As far as the defensive adjustments that were made, Cliff Kingsbury from today.
It's a sign of a good coaching job is adjustments. You know, that first half, you never know what a team's going to throw at you. And week in, week out, you're going to face different schemes and game plans. And when you come in at halftime and make the adjustments that VJ and the defensive staff did, I was really impressed with how they played in the second half.
What was the big adjustment in that second half, Coach?
Yeah, really, you know, gap integrity, I think, overall. Defensively, we were getting wiped out of our gaps early, and it threw everything off. In the second half, we stayed in our gaps. It allowed the linebackers to play over the top and shut down the run game for the most part.
And they just got bigger, too, right? I mean, I sent you a play from some game film where you could just see Rashad Lawrence and Corey Peters out there together. Just, you know, you get those big mammoth guys, and, hey, you know, you got to occupy some space. You're going to make it harder for Dalvin Cook to get through. You had to have that gap integrity, and you had to move with that. That offensive line from Minnesota, we came in thinking, man, they got manhandled in that game against Cincinnati. manhandled. And I thought that that would be a major weakness for Minnesota. But, man, those guys played well, especially early. Dalvin Cook was just chopping at the just 15 yards, 13 yards, 12 yards. He was playing so well. Finally, in the second half, they kind of limited his ability to do damage, and I thought that was a big reason why.
Yeah, I mean, when you average 6.6 yards per carry as a football team, you sort of assume you're going to win the football game, as the Vikings did yesterday. Dalvin Cook was 6 yards a carry. Kirk Cousins had 2 carries for 35 yards, right? They had 177 as a team. But Buda Baker was on the post-game show with Paul Calvisi, the sideline reporter, and Buddha said we went jumbo. I guess I'm not going to give away everything we did, but we went jumbo with a lot of our packages to what you said. We got bigger out there, and that helped, and it worked. Dalvin Cook in the first half had 113 rushing and receiving yards in the first half of that game, 113. He ended the game with 131.
They shut him down. Was that 18?
Yeah. What?
From 113 to 131.
He went from 113 to 131. Yeah. So
that's 18 more yards.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Just 18.
That's all he had. That's all he had in the second half of that game yesterday. A major adjustment. I mean, the defense as a whole. I mean, they only gave up 3 points in the second half yesterday. I know it was 10 on the scoreboard, but that's a pick six from Kyler. The defense was responsible for only 3 points in the second half.
Dalvin Cook did hurt his ankle. I think it was a J.J. Watt that kind of rolled on it. There was a point where he was really upset and he was down. So I don't know how much of that ankle injury was a factor, but the ankle injury may have been a factor. It did seem like he sprained his ankle or hurt his ankle a little bit. But still, I mean, he stayed in the game. Like, he came back in the game. He was fine. He was still playing, and they were able to shut him down. That was a big reason why they're able to win. I mean, you held him to 3 points in the second half. You gave your team a chance. Look, Vance's defense has done a good job, okay? Now, they got lit up a little bit early in that game, and I think you've said out of 8 quarters they played, the defense has played 6 good quarters. You're not going to play perfect. I mean, we're not looking for this. We don't need this to be, because of how good the offense is, you don't need this to be a top 5 defense. But, man, it'd be nice if you're a top 10 defense combined with how good this offense is. But the offense's ability to say, okay, we're down 2 scores, no problem at all, because this offense could score quickly and in a hurry and then never out of a game.
Yeah, I mentioned the 3 points, 3.9 yards per rush in the second half versus nearly 8 yards per rush in the first half. I mean, look, 8 quarters, 6 of them I thought they played really good defense in. And it was the timing, as always, has a little something to do with it. And the timing on that 2-minute drive by the Vikings, you would have liked to have seen better defense in that moment. There was, I think, at least 1 third-down conversion they were able to make on that final drive that led to the missed field goal. There might have been a second one. I have to go back and check my notes. They played really good defense in the second half of that game. They're never going to be perfect. This is the NFL. Good offense will beat good defense every single time in this league, just about every single time in this league. But if they can keep doing what they did in the second half yesterday, the Cardinals defense is going to be fine.
You know, here's the thing. There wasn't anybody that really stood out. Like, in the first week, we were like, Byron Murphy was unbelievable, and Marco Wilson was great, and Chandler Jones was all over the place. And there were 5 or 6 guys that we were able to point. There wasn't anything that Chandler Jones was invincible. Oh, he was. He was invincible.
Invisible.
Invisible. What did I say?
Invincible. Couldn't be more diametrically opposed if you tried.
Pat Benatar? Invincible?
Invincible. Invisible.
God.
He was invisible.
He was that too, yes. He was invincible in week 1.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Invisible.
Good
in
save.
Week 2.
Good save. I'll give it. Good save.
He'll be invaluable in week 3.
And invaluable in week 3.
And inconsolable in week 6 when he doesn't get a contract extension.
God, sometimes I am just so stupid.
No, it's
okay. It's not very smart.
In a moment like that, you do want me to correct you, right?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
I just want to make sure.
I have no issues. Like, I didn't go to school for journalism. I barely got a. I don't hide the fact that there are times I'm not very smart with words. You know, I'm not Dan Bickley. Okay, hey. I don't have a way with words.
Free, baby.
Yes.
He's
free.
Free
on Arizonasports.com. Free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to pay for anything. It's free on Arizonasports.com. No paywalls or anything. He was invisible. Chandler Jones didn't give you anything. Did you notice J.J. Watt on the field?
Barely.
I mean, what is he? 2 games? I haven't gotten anything out of J.J. Watt. Like, he's okay. Like, but he hasn't done anything. Byron Murphy got beat really bad on one play. Mm-hmm. I thought Robert Alford really struggled. D.J. Humphries was terrible in this game. D.J. Humphries was not good.
He was.
But defensively, I'm trying to think, like, Corey Peters had one nice play. Rashad Lawrence had a nice play. Jordan Hicks had a pass breakup. But all, like I didn't think that there was, like, who was the best defensive player on the field?
I'll tell you.
Probably Buddha.
I'll tell you right now.
Isaiah? What did you get out of Isaiah?
The guy who graded out the best per Pro Football Focus, yeah, for what it's worth.
Isaiah.
Isaiah Simmons had the best grade of the defensive players out there.
I didn't look at the grades. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I know exactly. You're 100% right. Nobody stood out.
Like, yeah, they had, one sack?
And it was Marcus Golden. Last week,
yes,
Everybody popped defensively. This week, nobody really did.
No, I mean, no big plays on the defense.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't force any, they didn't force any big turnovers or anything. They're like, they just didn't. Nobody popped.
Yep. Pac-12 play opens up this weekend. ASU takes on Colorado this Saturday at Sun Devil Stadium. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets. Yesterday's game decided by the kickers. What a breath of fresh air it was to have a kicker who would make kicks for you. How novel of a concept is that? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
This will be a 62-yard attempt. Andy Lee to hold. Snap. Ball is down. Prater's kick is absolutely crushed. And it's gone! A 62-yarder at the gun by Prater. And the Cardinals take the lead 24-23 into the locker room.
The man now owns the longest field goal record for not one, not two, but three different organizations in the NFL. Matt Prater, who also has the record for the longest field goal in the history of the league as a whole, has the longest made field goal in the history of the Cardinals, Lions, and Broncos.
Boy, he's got more 50-plus yard field goals than anybody in history. 102 years in the NFL, nobody's hit more 50-yard field goals than him. They had Cliff. I mean, listen, you might as well take that shot, right, at the end of the quarter. But, here's what I was thinking about that, right? At the end of the half, it's a no-brainer to kick that. Here's my question. Does that now give Cliff the confidence with 3 minutes left in the third quarter to try a field goal like that? Might depend on the score of the game and
depends
the situation.
Depends on the short field that you'd be giving the other team if you miss. I mean, it's very situationally dependent. You
you're down three, late third quarter, and you got a chance to kick, and you're at the 42-yard line of the opponent. It's a 59-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try it?
Yeah.
I would love to ask Cliff, does Prater's ability, especially if it's indoors, right? If I'm outdoors in the wind, I may not do it, but this guy, and I said this to you earlier, this defies logic, because usually when kickers get older, the accuracy is good, but the distance is not the same. You worry about a kicker's ability to get the ball in the end zone on a kickoff, and instead maybe he's kicking it to the 7 or 8 or 10-yard line. Prater hasn't lost the distance.
Yeah.
That was good from 70. But I would like to ask Cliff, do you have the confidence now that you've seen it? You're down three and late in the third quarter, and you got a chance for a 58, 59, 60-yarder. Do you trust him enough to put that thing through? Because if he misses, you're right. The other team gets the ball on the short field.
Cliff acknowledged today that he's been seeing this in practice from day one.
We've seen him hit, close to 70 in practice. So, I mean, you don't want to try those, like you said, on a consistent basis, but I mean, we had 21 seconds left, and I asked Coach Rogers, where do we got to get in? And he said, just close to the 50. And I said, we can do that. And he lined up, and I think it would have been good from 70. I mean, he crushed it. So it's fun to watch. It's cool to be around a guy who just, when he steps up there, you feel confident he's going to rip it. Kind of no holds barred, cut a loose type cat, and I'm glad we got him.
I would guess the answer to your question is yes. I mean, again, depending on the score and the situation and leaving the other team a short field where they could take the lead, but if you're trailing and you're trying to make it a one score game, I think you would absolutely give it a shot. Whereas maybe in the past with Zane Gonzalez, wouldn't.
I'll punt and I'll try to pin him deep. I'll try to get the ball back. If you've got Zane Gonzalez, you're not going to try. There's got to be a distance where Cliff is like, oh, okay, depending on the situation. Like, that was an easy call. It was the end of the half. Like, they weren't getting the ball back. You would have tried that from 68 yards. It doesn't matter. But I do wonder, like, at what distance, because of this guy's leg, how far he could kick it, I do wonder if you feel confident taking some shots with him now that you wouldn't have with somebody else.
You sit there, and we talk about all the additions this organization made in the offseason, and it is so easy to forget about Matt Prater. It is so easy to not talk about Matt Prater. In part because you focus on the bigger names, the Rodney Hudsons, the J.J. Watts, the A.J. Greens, the Rondale Moores, the Zaven Collins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
If you had two of all those guys, that would be fantastic.
I'm sorry?
If you had two of all those guys.
If I had two of all those guys.
The Zaven Collinses and the Isaiah Simmons.
Oh, did I say Isaiah Simmons? Oh.
No, I just.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I always joke around.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. You don't think about Matt Prater until something like this happens at the end of the game.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it. Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Are you kidding me?
You had one job. One. See those
that
two?
That wasn't even good. Then he tried to justify it after. Oh, it only missed it by a foot. A foot!
You got two guys down there. They're wearing striped shirts. Okay? Don't tell Paul Allen what to do. He's been the play-by-play voice. He was the play-by-play voice for the Vikings during that Josh McCown, Nate Poole.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was the guy. No! No! He was that guy.
Oh.
So he's been doing it. He didn't need me to tell him to do play-by-play. But you got two dudes down there and start.
Touchdown! No! No!
Sorry, I love that call.
That was him?
Same guy. Same guy here. Listen to it again. Hold on.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone!
No!
No, it's no good. Are you kidding?
Same guy.
Just the way he says, come on!
Come on! Now, the McCown to Poole knocked two out of the playoffs.
The Vikings.
It knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
And because of that, they gave Nate Poole. I was listening to Darren Urban talk about this on the pregame show. Nate Poole got a key to the city.
Which city?
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Green Bay got in. And Josh McCown got like a cheese basket from Green Bay.
And the Cardinals lost out on the number one pick.
I think I'd rather have the cheese basket than the key to the city.
You can't eat the key to the city.
We can't. What are you going to do with a key to the city?
But in theory, that key would open up all the cheese factories in Green Bay.
In theory.
I mean, if it's the key to the city.
By the way, just to get this out there, the worst Ted Lasso episode of all time. It was absolutely garbage.
We watched it on Saturday night.
My wife was like, what the hell?
Okay, it was, you know what they were doing with that? I looked this up.
Of course you did.
Oh, no, I don't. Because
of course you did.
I did, because I recognize what they
I looked
doing.
It up, too, so don't feel bad, Burnsy.
Okay,
you did, too?
Because
it was so unusual of an episode.
I recognized elements of what they were doing. They were paying homage to a Martin Scorsese movie from the 80s called After Hours. And in the movie After Hours, the lead character goes through something very similar to what Coach Beard did in that episode of Ted Lasso. I'm trying not to spoil anything. I won't say
the
too much more beyond
sucked.
That.
Don't watch it. You'll miss nothing.
It was a big letdown. It was a very oddly placed sort of cultural reference for a movie that movie's so old.
At halftime of the ASU game, I said, listen, if they keep playing like this, I'm going to go watch Ted Lasso. And then Vince Murata tweeted something out about, really bad episode, man. And then other people would chime in like, that was the worst episode. Like, oh, my God. So then we watched it, and I'm like,
So the other thing I read about that is that this was supposed to be a 10-episode season, and then Apple said, hey, why don't you do 12? They had already mapped out the whole season arc.
So
this episode and the Christmas episode were just added on
filler
because of Apple.
How many episodes are left now?
Oh, three? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what episode that was.
So it's 12 episodes?
It's 12 episodes this season.
Oh, good.
I think there's one more and they're done.
No, I think they're only on episode 9. So if it's 12, there'd be three more.
Oh, okay.
10, 11,
I thought maybe
and 12.
There was just one more. I don't know.
I just love that show. I think that they should just do it every week. I don't think they should take a long break. I hate shows like that. It's only a half hour. There's no reason why you have to take a 9-month break.
That was episode 9.
Was that
so
9?
There'll be three more episodes.
Okay, good. Okay. Three
okay.
more.
So Gambo, basically angry guy demanding that people create content for him. More content every week.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd like the show. I'd like. It's only a half hour.
I guess, you know, that makes sense.
Laverne and Shirley was every
you're
week.
You're the same
Happy
guy who
every week.
Complains
company.
At me when I take a week off. So, yeah, apparently you really aren't big on vacation time for people who work hard.
Or fifth or sixth week that you take off. The ever vacationing day burns.
That's me, baby. That's me, and I do not apologize for it. Through two games, there's been a balance to the Cardinals' passing game and their targets. Why did DeAndre Hopkins go MIA after the first quarter yesterday, and is it that big of a deal? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.